Today we're celebrating the blessing of the animals, and we do that on the Sunday closest to the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, which is October 4th. Almost 800 years ago, Francis introduced the idea that humans aren't the only one of God's beloved creatures, aren't only the creatures who are blessed by God. And while people in the 13th century undoubtedly cared for their animals, those not raised for food were really kept for utility. Dogs for guarding and hunting, cats for rodent elimination in barns, rodent control. Some kept birds of prey for hunting. Horses were kept for work, for plowing, for transportation, and among the noble classes, the better materialistically well-off classes, for leisure and sport. And until relatively recently, and we'll see what Pope Francis has to say about this, but the general Christian teaching was that animals did not have souls. Excuse me, I'm getting over a bit of a sore throat. Early in his ministry, probably somewhere between the years of 1210 and 1215, Francis was questioning everything that he had done up to this point in his life. He was filled with self-doubt about his calling, wondering whether he should have joined the family business, gotten married, as his wealthy and noble parents wanted him to do. And the story goes that Francis took a walk outside the walls of Assisi. And as he was walking on this path outside the city, asking God if he was on the right path, if he was where he was supposed to be in his life, as many of us do, as he was out walking, excuse me, he stopped to talk to the birds. And as he was talking to them, he began to tell them about God's glories and why both birds and humans should be grateful to their Creator. And this was the beginning of Francis's recognition of the holiness of all God's creatures and the animals who he called his brothers and sisters. And today, St. Francis is recognized as the patron saint of animals. Now, anyone who's loved an animal knows without a doubt that that animal has a soul. All you have to do is look into your beloved animal's eyes to know that they possess intelligence, emotion, understanding, and love. And for me, it's that expression of love that is the evidence of their soul. Whoever evokes love in us must have a soul, because love is the highest expression of good, of God, and you can't express that or evoke that unless you have some God in you. I love the story of how Francis became the patron saint of animals, because self-doubt is what started it all, and that's common to us even today, maybe especially today, with all of the distractions and all of the knowledge we have about the world and our global awareness of things that are going on. We wonder, am I on the right path? And Francis was frustrated by the obstacles that he encountered as he tried to live as God commanded him to. He had disappointed his parents and given up his inherited wealth and career. There were protocols in these days, and up until I think even fairly recently, and maybe even in some parts of the world, this happens now. The firstborn son follows in the father's footsteps. The secondborn maybe becomes a priest. The third maybe goes to work in government. If you're a girl, well, you just get sold off to the highest bidder maybe back in that day. But Francis gave this up. This is a huge obstacle and a huge challenge for him. And not only did he give up that career, but he gave up his second career, which was the military. On a campaign, he was leading soldiers outside of Assisi, and God came to him and said, "Would you rather serve the servant or the master?" And at that moment, Francis said, "Well, the master." And he turned around and he left the military campaign and he went back to Assisi. His friends and his peers shunned him because his actions confused them. His father imprisoned him at one point and ultimately disinherited him. And in the midst of these struggles, Francis wondered if he was on the right path. And who wouldn't? Those are huge obstacles. Yet instead of talking to his friends or going to his doctor calling a psychic, Francis went out for a walk and he talked to God. And how many of us do that? Go right to the source and ask, am I where you want me to be? Is there a reason for all of this struggle? Am I on the right path? I work as a minister, as you know, and a hypnotist and a medium. And this is a common question among my clients across all three of these populations. Because we all have a yearning to know if we're living purposeful lives. Some among us are afraid that we're wasting time, that we're not doing what we're meant to do. And many clients are distressed because they know they're supposed to be doing something, but they don't even know what it is. And part of what I do as a hypnotist, a psychic, and a minister is I advise them to take it up with God and to listen to God for the answer and the direction, and maybe even then ask God for courage to create the change that might need to happen if you find you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But today, as I think about St. Francis, one of my favorite saints, I realize that there's another step to self-discovery in addition to simply asking God. And that's singing the praises of God. Francis, in the midst of his self-doubt, stops to talk to the birds about the glory of God. And do you think the birds really needed to hear this? Probably not. So I think the lesson for us in this story is that Francis needed to say it to someone. And who better to bear our hearts and souls to than an animal who makes no judgment about us? When I talk to my dog Memphis right there, my cats Archie and Reggie, even the birds and the snakes and the deer and the squirrels I see on my walk every morning in the woods, I get no argument from them. I'm not embarrassed because I don't have a whole scholarly knowledge base to argue theoretically about God. I'm not shy about loving God to an animal because the animal won't feel awkward, try to change my mind or scoff at my beliefs. Animals give us a safe place to talk to God, to praise God, and to wonder aloud if we're living our best lives and we're on the right path. And I'm convinced that animals are not burdened by egos, so they easily recognize the divinity in each other and in us. When my animals see the good in me, the divine in me, I can more trustingly surrender. I can more trustingly invite God into my life to heal me, to guide me, to show me my path. And I'm not sure I could do that if I didn't have an animal to talk to, if I didn't have an animal in my life, if I didn't appreciate the beautiful wildlife around me that I see in the morning. I have chickens now, too. They're a blast. We like to anthropomorphize our animals. He's sad because I have to leave for work. She's making me feel guilty because I won't share my dinner with her. I had a neighbor who was convinced her dachshund was spiteful because the dog would pee in the house. She never taught the dog not to pee in the house. She would have a conversation with the dog. Now listen, Izzy, I don't want you to pee in the house. She never trained Izzy. So, of course, she'd leave for work and Izzy would pee in the house. And because she'd had a conversation with Izzy about this, she was convinced that Izzy knew what she was talking about and was peeing in the house just to spite her. Because she told him not to. And he did it anyway. So we think of them as family. And because we belong to the human family, it's not a big stretch to extend human personality characteristics onto our animal companions. But I submit to you that maybe we're doing a disservice when we do this, when we anthropomorphize, because animals don't judge us. If you don't have an ego, if you don't have a personality, if you don't compare and contrast and judge, you don't. And I believe that animals are without ego, that they're unselfconscious. They live in the present. They don't worry about the future. They know how to be here now, as Ram Dass always suggests to us. They're all the things the mystics advise us to be. So, maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot here, consider whether it's really necessary to talk first to a minister, a psychic, or a hypnotist, when maybe you could talk to God first, when you wonder if you're on the right path. Or go take a walk. Talk to the wildlife you encounter about the wonders of God in your life, however you experience it. Take a ride with your dog or sit with your cat on your lap and talk to that animal as if you too were unselfconscious. You're not the first to wonder if you found your calling or if you're on the right path. And you won't be the last to wonder if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Let your beloved animal be your sounding board, as Francis did. Because our animals are just like God in their ability to accept, forgive, and bless us, even if we fail time and time again. In the quiet acceptance from our animals, in the absence of judgment, opinion, or commentary, as from a friend, I believe we can hear God's voice. If you call out into the void, "I'm lost, I'm stuck, I don't know why I'm here," and you receive the generous, blessed love in your dog's eyes or your cat's purr, or you witness wildlife around you, undisturbed by anxiety, you will hear what you need to hear. And when you're done offering your confusion to the passionately receptive animal world, speak to them about your blessings and praise the God who brought you to this point. Francis said to the birds, "Clearly our Creator loves you dearly, since He gives you gifts so abundantly. So please beware, my little sisters, of the sin of ingratitude, and always sing praise to God." And couldn't we say the same to each other now? Amen.